welcome to the Smokin' PTSD Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Diver. I am a survivor of suicide, a survivor of childhood emotional and physical abuse, as well as a veteran of the U.S. Navy and a retired first responder. I started this podcast to help me on my journey to wellness by sharing my story, my thoughts, and my experiences in a hope that my story will reach and help others and let them know that it's okay to not be okay. With that being said, I am not a licensed mental or behavioral health professional. I'm just a guy who's been through some stuff and has experienced a trauma survival. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, medical treatment, or therapy. Always seek the advice of your qualified mental health provider with any questions you may have regarding any mental health symptoms, and never disregard professional help or delay in seeking professional advice or treatment because of something you have heard on this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review this episode as your comments can only serve to improve the content. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. So today we're going to talk about healing from trauma and the impact of invalidation. Invalidation means the denying of or the ignoring of a person's emotional experience and communicating that their thoughts or feelings are not valid or they are wrong. Invalidation hurts the most when you feel like people are simply not listening to you, misunderstanding, or minimize what you are saying, and feel that you're being ignored. The person that minimizes your feelings and invalidates you is the person who says, "How come you're not over that yet?" when you start talking about things that are bothering you and your past traumatic experiences, as if what you lived through would not have bothered them in the least. And that's just ignorance talking. Invalidation as a child or an adult can come from family members, teachers, friends, people you work with, or your partner. And invalidation, when used as manipulation by others, can be abusive and lead to damaging effects such as low self-esteem, depression, resilience on others, anxiety, and self-harm. And one of the stranger things I found while researching this topic the past few days was that not all invalidation is malicious. And a lot of people, especially trauma survivors, will unconsciously invalidate others because they're uncomfortable with their own emotions and they want you to feel better quickly. And they don't understand you or why you feel a certain way, or they could just lack the skills to invalidate someone or lack the skills to validate someone. And what I got from that was I did a lot of introspective thinking about the times that I was invalidating someone else because I was being defensive and using my own defense mechanisms to protect me. And that's always, you know, the goal was always to protect me and my feelings and to try and feel validated, but not to allow myself to feel invalidated and inferior to somebody else. So I was always putting up my protective walls and my defense mechanisms were always coming into play. And that probably made somebody else feel that what they were saying wasn't valid. When we look back at jobs that we've had, or even recreational sports, or wherever you have been subordinate to someone, if it's your boss, if it's your supervisor at work, if it's your baseball coach, your football coach, we all look for words of validation that make us feel good and let us know that we're on the right track. In my current job, the general manager is a good leader. He's a smart guy, but he's also very well grounded in how he leads. And he doesn't walk that fine line between being your friend and being your boss. He's your boss 100% of the time, but he's also very good at validating what we're doing. And being new at the job, I make a lot of mistakes, but he's always the first person to say, "This is the mistake. This is how we do this, and this is how we make you better at doing this." And he's never chiding, he's never ridiculing, unlike my previous fire chief when I worked for Aurora Metro, who constantly invalidated. I know I've told this story before, but I was working for this clown at Aurora Metro Fire Department, and I had set up my email. I was listing my post nominals, which are the letters placed after a person's name to indicate their education, qualifications, titles, honors, that kind of stuff. And I had sent an email out with my post nominal. It was like one of the first emails I sent out with my post nominals showing. And he called me up and he said, "Boy, you have a lot of letters after your name." And I said, "Yeah, I'm really proud of that stuff." And he backtracked a little bit, like, "Oh, I'm not saying anything wrong." Like, well, that's exactly what he was saying. And that was a way of trying to invalidate my successes because they weren't his successes. He didn't have post nominals after his name. And it's not that he didn't achieve things and he wasn't an educated guy. He was. He had a master's degree, but he didn't use the post nominals like other people did. And I did. I was proud of all of the degrees and certifications that I had used. But that was his way, one of the many ways in which he would invalidate myself and others, regardless of what our accomplishments were. So we can probably all take a second and think about someone who was a good leader and showed praise and validation, and those who were bad leaders and did not show any praise or validation. And we all want to know that we're doing a good job, no matter what it is that we're doing. We all want to know that we're doing the right thing and we're on the right track. And when we're validated in those actions, it makes us feel good and it lets us know that we can keep moving forward down this path because what we're doing is worthy and worth it, and the validation just speaks for itself. The flip side of that is when we express our feelings or we do the best that we can, and even when we know we've done the right thing, we are still told that we're exaggerating or we're lying. And when we get invalidated by those around us, it damages our self-worth and certainly affects our mental health. And traumatic invalidation happens when you're intensely or constantly invalidated by those around you. And I can tell you that the year that I worked for the Aurora Metro Fire Department for that fire chief was a tough year for me. With my mental health, because once he realized that he could get under my skin, he just continued to bully. And he acted exactly like the schoolyard bully in that regard. And he was the first, when he was promoted to chief, because the other incompetent that they hired got moved out, he was the first chief in the history of the Aurora Metro Fire Department to have a 100% vote of no confidence against him from the union. And that was the beginning of the end for him. And he was promoted up to a different position outside of that fire department. He was moved into a different position within Aurora Metro, but he's not in charge of those guys anymore. And talking to guys that I still keep in touch with there, things are significantly better since he was forced up and forced out. It wasn't a promotion due to doing a great job. It was a promotion to get him out from the position that he was in. So unfortunately, his incompetence got validated. So when your feelings, experiences, and memories are dismissed or treated as unacceptable, that's when the invalidation comes in. And it may or may not be intentional, but either way, it can cause symptoms of post-traumatic stress when it's severe and repeated. And his was severe and was repeated. And several times I remember growing up, my feelings about not wanting to go to school and being scared of the bullying that I was getting, my mother would tell me to bite the bullet. And that was her way of dealing with the problem. But at the same time, it was invalidating my feelings and the fear that I had of going to school. So a little recap to get onto this topic 100% here, but trauma, as we know, and for those that are new to this podcast, this is what we talk about. A trauma is emotional or physical response to one or more harmful or life-threatening events or circumstances with lasting adverse effects on your mental and physical well-being. And that can come in the form of verbal and physical abuse, neglect, accidents that you're involved in, or in my case as a first responder, accidents that I responded to. The invalidation can be traumatic when it is severe, long-lasting, and negatively affects your understanding of yourself and the world. If you are frequently told your feelings or experiences are unreasonable, you may be unable to accept your own emotional experiences. This can leave you feeling perpetually insecure, as I did every time I went to work for that. It wasn't for the full year, but it started very shortly after I got hired there. And I was perpetually insecure every time I went to work there. Examples of traumatic invalidation include emotional abuse, verbal abuse, neglect, and being blamed when telling someone about a traumatic event or betrayal that you experienced. And a lot of people may do that. So that's why we need to choose wisely who we decide to share our experiences with, because not everyone is equipped to handle those. And those that are not equipped to handle it are invalidating you. And I remember one point talking with my wife. We lived back in New Jersey, and we were talking about some things and how it was adversely affecting me. And she said, well, and she was a paramedic as well. And she said, well, I've experienced a lot of bad things in my life and it doesn't bother me. As if because it doesn't bother her, it wasn't supposed to bother me. Or if she was okay with it, I was supposed to be okay with it. And what that did was that invalidated my feelings. And I remember that. I remember that because, as I've said to you guys in the past, that I don't have any good memories. However, I remember that because that was the last time that I ever opened up to her about my feelings and how my mental health was being affected by my job. And it wasn't for another 6 or 7 years that I was actually able to heal from that with the help of my therapist, Dana, and got no help at home because I just simply refused to talk about it. Being invalidated by her at that point in time made it especially hurtful, because the people that we're closest to, we expect them to be a little bit more empathetic. And when our expectations in that regard are not met, it becomes incredibly painful to deal with. One of the lasting effects of our trauma being invalidated is that it's going to teach us to ignore or downplay our feelings or memories, that we are going to start to believe what the external voice is telling us, in that it's not that big a deal, that shouldn't bother you this much, just let it go. And we're just not capable of letting it go, even though, and it does bother us tremendously, but we start to believe that it's better off to not say anything and not feel anything than it is to open our mouth and think that we're going to get empathy from our close friends and family. So what is this tells us that we shouldn't speak up, and we learn and teach ourselves not to speak up, and that puts us further and further into our own little turtle shell that we just constantly hide in. So a short definition of validation is to establish the soundness of or to corroborate. And invalidation is to make invalid or nullify. And trauma is nullification in the literal sense of the word, death and the threat of death being the ultimate nullification. And trauma survivors have survived nullification, yet they must fight invalidation all the time. And that leads to a sense of life not being too fair. And we're in a constant cycle of I'm either being nullified or I'm being invalidated, and both of those have adverse effects on our mental health. When we acknowledge another person's reality, their experiences, their feelings, and their symptoms, we are validating that person and their feelings. When we ignore them or we say that can't be true, or even, and we've all met this person, the one who tries to outdo you, you tell your story of trauma and suffering, and they have one that's better than yours or worse than yours. And they are invalidating you because all they want to do is talk about how they feel, not empathize with how you feel. But yet that same person wants you to validate what they're saying and make them feel better. One of the biggest ways in which I was taught to heal by Dana was empowerment. And what she would say was that trauma survivors need to regain a sense of empowerment. They do not need to be told what to do. So all the time in our meetings and our sessions, she would simply say, if I had said, you know, thank you for helping me with that, she would say, you did the work. And she was always making it about me and not about her. And she played a major role in my healing. And I know she does for others. She has a waiting list to get into her practice. So she's doing really good work for a lot of people. But she empowers those people to heal by themselves and for themselves. And once I was shown how to regain that sense of empowerment, I was able to stay on the path that I'm on to stay healthy and to stay sober and to stay mentally fit. What I learned from being with Dana was that validation is listening. And it's that simple. Validation is acknowledging someone else's experiences that have been difficult for them or wonderful to them. It could be something that's great for them. All they want you to do is listen. Validation includes respect, compassion, listening, and eventually, if asked, suggestions, though not directions, on what might help if you've had experience in this area. And giving directions is invalidating. That is the opposite of empowering you to learn on your own on how to heal when someone tells you this is what you have to do. That's why Dana always said, you did the work. And it's true. I had done the work. She'd put a lot of work into it, but she was empowering me to get past those obstacles that were in front of me. She wasn't telling me, you need to do this in order to get around or over or under that obstacle. And there's a big difference. If your therapist is giving you directions, that therapist may not be qualified to deal with PTSD. And as I know I've talked about this before, that if you're new to this podcast and you're looking for help, it behooves you to search for a therapist who is trained in PTSD and knows how to deal with that, because not all therapists are the same. And you have to think of it like a surgeon. If you break your leg, your general practitioner, guy that you go to when you, or girl, woman that you go to when you have a sore throat, is not the person you're going to go to when you have a bone sticking out of your leg. So you need to go to a professional who knows how to deal with what the problem is. And if you're just wanting to talk to any therapist, you know, that's fine. But if you have a specific problem in mind, you know, if you're having trouble with your marriage, you need to go to a marriage counselor. You don't just go to any therapist who has studied for a couple of years and has a sign on the door, because they are professionals, but they may not specialize in what is bothering you and don't know how to fix it. And if they don't know how to fix it, they're going to do nothing but to continue to invalidate you. And validation can also come from within by just, you know, maybe you repeat a mantra every morning when you wake up, something that validates you and how you feel, and it helps you start your day. I know a lot of people that do that. Journaling helps for us to feel validated, because we are venting in a secure platform that is there to help us. It's not there for anybody else but us. And it helps us to feel good, and it helps us to feel validated. And validation is listening. Validation is acknowledging someone else's experience has been difficult, and we're going to let them know that, hey, we're here for them, we're listening, and we may not even offer a solution. We may just nod and just show that you're understanding and you're being empathetic. Just because someone's telling you something doesn't about their personal feelings, in my opinion, doesn't mean you have to respond to it other than just nodding and showing that you actually care about what they're saying. So I found this little journal online called the Post Traumatic Gazette, and this is number 21 that I'm referencing about validation and invalidation. And at the end of the article, it has a list of 10 things you can do today to validate yourself and others. The first one is to give yourself credit for surviving something that is difficult for anyone. I'm not going to read everything that goes after this, but I'm just going to read the list. Number two is encourage yourself to look for solutions that work for you. Number three is to acknowledge that everyday problems are problems. When you're struggling with PTSD, sometimes everyday problems seem insanely trivial, but ignoring them can make your life even more chaotic. And that's pretty important, to acknowledge that everyday problems are problems. As we've talked about on the last couple of episodes, dealing with the parts of our brain that are affected and changed by PTSD, for someone without PTSD, a minor inconvenience stays just that. But for someone with PTSD, the minor inconvenience becomes a very real problem. And we have to understand how to address those and how to deal with them so that they don't explode into something else. And I always give the analogy of road rage, because it's something that I in the past had been guilty of. But someone cuts you off or commits a minor infraction, and your brain automatically triggers that you have to get them back and somehow retaliate. So you're making a small problem into a great problem, where you could just say, eh, whatever, dude, good luck to you, and go about your life. So number four is find out what you are feeling. Identifying, acknowledging, and accepting your thoughts and feelings is a way of validating them. Number five says don't solve, especially for other people. Don't give them solutions for their problems. Just listen to what they have to say and understand what it is that they're going through. When you start to give them a solution, they may take that as being you're invalidating them, because you're not exactly listening. You're too busy talking to listen. We have two ears and one mouth, and they should always be used accordingly. We should be listening more than we're talking when a friend or family member comes to us with something that they're dealing with. Number six is change your self-talk if necessary. What am I saying to myself? Take the time to listen to what is going on in your head. And that's a big one for me. I do have a lot of negative self-talk, and I sit there and I will automatically say, yeah, no, that's not going to happen today. We're not going to be that person. And I'm constantly giving myself validating thoughts rather than letting the negative self-talk be invalidating to me and my feelings. And number seven follows right behind that with be kind to yourself. Nothing validates a person more than kindness. And as I say at the end of every podcast, something that goes along those lines is everyone you meet is dealing with something you know nothing about. So be kind to them. And number eight is take time for yourself. Number nine is write out validating statements on a card and carry it with you. That's a good idea. If you have or you can put a note on your phone. I've done that before in the notes app on your phone. You can put validating comments. And when you're feeling down or a little insecure, you can read those. That's a good little mantra right there. Good little practice. And number 10 is listen and don't cheerlead. When you are really listening rather than thinking out what you're going to say, people can tell. People can tell that you stop listening. You are reacting in your head to how you're going to respond to what they say. And if you're doing that, you've stopped listening. So it was another quick one today. Hope everyone's doing well. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you for spending a few minutes with me today. Please rate, subscribe, and review, as your comments can only serve to improve this podcast. If you or someone you know are struggling with thoughts of suicide, please call or text the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 988. Veterans can also call 988 and press 1 or text 838-255. You can reach me on Twitter at SmokinPTSD, on Instagram at Smokin_PTSD, or email me at thesmokinPTSDpodcast@gmail.com. And please remember, everyone you meet is struggling with something you know nothing about, so please, let's be kind to one another.